I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Welcome to a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for listening. Brand new stop motion holiday special. Wow. Alien Xmas. It premieres this Friday, November 20th on Netflix. Joining me right now, director Stephen Chiodo, producer Edward Chiodo, the Chiodo brothers. Guys, thanks for being here on the LCJ Q&A today.
Hey, well, thanks for having us, Jackson. Yeah.
Great to be here. Thanks for asking.
So excited to get into this. I think a lot of families are looking for great holiday content this season, and Netflix has it with this. Stephen, I'm going to start with you. Where did Alien Xmas come from, and how did you first translate this into a very popular book?
Oh, well, I've always been a fan of the Rankin and Bass holiday specials back in the 60s, like Rudolph's Reindeer and all those shows. So my brothers and I always had it in our minds to make a holiday special. You know, when I think about the holidays as they are right now with Black Friday and everything, I said, what is Christmas all about now? It has to be more than just those sales on Black Friday. So I wanted to hone it down to Christmas is all about the spirit of giving. That's what Christmas is about. So that's where the idea originally came from. And then we put it together. We were talking to some people at Disney about doing a holiday special or something.
Yeah, we were working at the time. We were working with ABC Family doing interstitials, bumpers for their 25 Days of Christmas campaign that they do every year. And so we're doing all these really fun bits with Santa and stuff. And then the executive we were working with is saying that they're always interested in specials. So, you know, that's when we started riffing around with the idea that Stephen was toying around with. And actually it started as a pitch for a holiday special. But this was back in 2005. Stop motion wasn't as, I mean, it was popular, but it was, you know, it's kind of expensive to produce. So on a network budget, it just didn't happen at that time. So we decided to, in our pitch, we had developed all this great concept artwork and everything. And it was really the makings of the books. And then we hooked up with Bob Elf from Baby Tattoo Books, and he fell in love with it and gave us a little book deal.
Yeah, and the book has been a great success for the past 5 years. And I remember watching when it used to be ABC Family before form, and the 25 Days of Christmas as a huge deal every year. And I remember some of those interstitials and the ads and advertisement with that. So you guys were behind that. That is awesome.
Yeah, And then from there, you know, actually at that time we were doing Elf with Jon Favreau, and he saw the book, and he's a huge fan of stop motion. He kind of fell in love with the story, and actually we took it out with him initially at the time, way back when. He was a big fan and a supporter of the concept.
That's great. Yeah, Jon Favreau, an executive producer on this. He voices Obi, one of the characters in this as well. Take me back for just a moment to working on Elf, because so many people remember those, obviously Will Ferrell's character and all that happens with him, but also those special stop motion sequences in that.
Well, it was very important for John to make a family film, family holiday film that would last forever. And he really hearkened back to the Rankin and Bass. He felt that that really kind of epitomized the holiday spirit. So he wanted to bring that world of stop motion into Elf before we get to the New York City sequences. So we worked with him trying to duplicate the style and everything. And I think he was very smart, very wise in bringing in that nostalgia, reminding us what it was like to spend Christmas with our family when we were young by incorporating that stop motion sequence at the top of the picture. It really introduced the whole world, the whole concept of Buddy as an elf to a family holiday picture.
Yeah, I
mean, and really good. Motion was key.
Yeah, and so much, you know, the Rankin and Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer style was so important to them. They actually went out and licensed the look so they could duplicate the costume stylings, and be in a safe territory to really play, not parody it at all, but really homage to that, with the specials that we all grew up on.
Yeah, really cool about it was we had done stop motion special effects before, but this is the first time we're ever going to have one of our stop motion characters actually work with the key lead actor, the star of the show. So when Leon the Snowman is talking to Buddy the elf, Will Ferrell, it was something that we knew couldn't be cut out of the picture because this was essential.
Oh, yeah. So memorable. It's one of the most quotable holiday movies of all time. And so cool that you guys were a part of Elf. And in watching Alien Xmas, which is 42 minutes, it is ambitious to watch a 42-minute stop motion holiday special, again on Netflix this Friday. When did you guys realize, because 42 minutes, a lot of times, hey, that could be put into an hour time frame on a network with commercials in between. But when did you guys realize that Netflix would be the perfect home for this?
It was really with John. You know, we had taken it out with John early on. Then he had like a little career intervention, Iron Man 2.
Jungle Book, and then Lion King.
Jungle Book, yeah.
But it was always in the back of his mind. Whenever we would see one another, he'd always ask about, hey, do you still have that project? And, finally, a point in time came where he says, guys, you know, with all the streaming things, this, I think we have a great home for this. And he brought us to Netflix. It's a Netflix original produced for them. Format, time didn't matter. Whatever worked for the title. John was supportive. Netflix was supportive in both whatever we needed it to be.
And in watching this, what really stuck out in my mind was it's modern in a sense of some of the themes you're addressing, but also it's like a sci-fi spin on The Grinch. I mean, that's what I had in my mind because of the whole stealing Christmas aspect. Can you expand on that? And was The Grinch a real direct inspiration for you guys?
Well, The Grinch was certainly, again, an inspiration way back when. It's one of the more beautiful holiday specials. But it really, we kind of dealt with the evils of Christmas. I mean, that it's not always such a holiday. There are some bad apples. And we needed a character to kind of turn around, to spin, start out kind of evil, and then kind of be filled with the magic of Christmas. I mean, essentially, it's really the story of X. And he's a thieving little gray alien who goes on this mission to steal Earth's gravity. And Santa Claus and the elves are the first line of defense against an alien invasion. But during this adventure, he gets mistaken as a doll. And he's kind of infused with the magic of Christmas, the spirit of giving. And that turns him. And he tries to stop this invasion. So it really is his arc. Very similar to The Grinch. But I guess the Chiodo Brothers spin on it is that we like to mash two different genres together. So we took a classic holiday special and our love of sci-fi and mashed them together in a holiday special the likes of which you've never seen. I mean, we've got robots and we've got Gyrotron anti-gravity machines and elves fighting aliens. It's quite an adventure.
Yeah, I mean, that was really kind of the fun part of it. It's what we do with Chiodo Bros. We mash up that thing and spin the expectations. I mean, this could live as a very nice little holiday special, you know, all take place in, you know, Christmas. And you add that alien element, so playing with unexpected, so that's where the fun comes from for us. And it is definitely a throwback to, you know, the Rankin and Bass stylings. It's very reminiscent. We toyed around with the idea that, hey, that this was made in 1965 and it's been buried all this time and we've just uncovered it. So that was kind of the approach. We did update the technology a little bit, the look. It's a, when you look back at the Rankin and Bass, I think your memories of the technique, or a little maybe fond memories, make it seem better than it actually were, but we still love them.
Oh, yeah. You see, there are moments in this, there are, where it feels like cotton balls in certain moments. I mean, there are certain moments where you know this is stop motion and it feels in that old fashioned sense, and that is so cool for stop motion lovers. But, Edward, even for stop motion fans who love Wes Anderson movies and Laika and Aardman and all of those, what would they still be surprised to learn about what goes into the making of a big stop motion production like this?
Everything you see is handmade. I think there is one bead in the movie that we purchased and put on set without it doing some sort of alteration. Everything you see, it is handmade by extremely talented artists, from design, you know, to execution. It's just a loving, handmade process. There was talk, would we be interested in doing this CG, you know, using computers? And yeah, we could tell the same story, but it wouldn't have had the same tangible magic that the stop motion technique brings to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really key, because it's real. These are little living toys moving around in a miniature world.
They are. And Stephen, can you talk a little bit about the costumes and some of the outfits? Because when you look at these tiny little characters, the details are so cool with the bows and Z's dress. I mean, there's a lot of details that go into those.
Oh, well, yeah. We had a great crew of people. We had Becky Van Cleve as our head of puppet fabrication. We're creating a world of characters. And that world is created all the way down to not just the costumes, but the jewelry. If you look at Z, she actually has bracelets and rings on to show that she's a female. It is that that attention to detail that helps bring out character, because what we tried to do, we tried to bring characters to life. Z, the evil supreme leader, is a great character. And Santa Claus is a kind of Santa Claus you don't normally see. He's the ultimate optimist and nothing ever gets him down. But actually, he gets really put through the ringers on this little adventure. The elves are all unique. They were colorful, bright, and shiny. We tried to tap into what everybody's memory of Christmas was, so that when they see this, it kind of harkens back to when they were young. And it kind of brings back those warm, fuzzy feelings of Christmas's past with their families.
The Kyotas are with me right now on the LCJ Q&A podcast talking about Alien Xmas. A couple of my favorite moments in it are with the reindeer, the funny lines and the funny reactions. Could you do more with the reindeer in the future, maybe? Because there may be the surprise standouts here.
It's funny you mentioned that. We had a whole a subplot about the reindeers getting kind of ticked off that they invented the super sleigh and put them out of a job. So we had a reindeer union. Yeah, we had protests. we had to cut it down lengthwise because it was just too ambitious a project. So we were able to kind of keep that tone of a little bit of a sore spot for the super sleigh with the reindeers. Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on it because, it's just a small portion of what we had hoped to do with that group of characters.
Oh, my gosh. I hope you do more with them down the line, because I could tell that there was something there. I could tell. And, Stephen, in translating this from book to screen, were there specific goals you had in mind for maybe expanding on certain things you had in the book to this, or changing some things up?
Translating the book was a challenge because it was a really simple story in the book. It's only like a 16-page book. But we wanted to focus mostly on the heart of the story, the arc of X. He's sort of like a Buster Keaton character. He's like this man against the world, or an alien against the world, always thrust into these situations. And it was his arc as he joins forces with Holly, the innocent little elf girl. He was mean and nasty on a mission to prove himself because he's the smallest little alien out there. But when he meets her and he's embraced and he feels love, the spirit of giving and the exchange that happens when you give somebody this gift, that was the core of the story. And we wanted to maintain that. Like, we had big ideas how to expand the battle and the robots and the gyrotron machine and all of the sci-fi elements, but we didn't want to lose that core through line of X's arc and the magic of Christmas.
And that's where John, working with John, really came in, really was extremely beneficial. He's just a great storyteller, and he just kept us true to, kept bringing us back to the book. You know, what was the great story in the book?
Yeah, he was really a great proponent for that, because we did have a tendency to kind of go bigger and more fantasy, more comedy and more irreverence. And John brought us back to what the core of the story was, the heart, that exchange. A great partner, a great storyteller. We had a great time with John.
Yeah, the heart absolutely comes through, and families will respect that and enjoy that. And is there a sense in you guys working together, I don't know, any disagreements, any things that you were fighting on a little bit to make sure either got in or something that happened in this?
You would think so. I think Edward was a great producer in that he kind of protected me from all of that stuff happening around in production. And I was able to focus more on actually working with the animators, working with the art department to kind of get that vision out there, which was really challenging. It's a very ambitious show. And the team put it all together. So, yeah. I don't think there was anything between the brothers, which is what would typically happen within sibling.
Yeah, I mean, this has been percolating for quite a while. So, I mean, I think we kind of hashed it out. We kind of knew what the boundaries were. And like I said, my role was, when there are things that Stephen really wanted, you know, it was my job to fight them for him. Some of the things, that are in the movie are in there because we felt strongly that they made it better. And John is a partner, Netflix is a partner, really supportive of the creative process and the creators. It was really kind of a wonderful experience all around in that regard.
It really was, because it was one of two things that we said we wanted something. And then they said, well, no, maybe we won't put that in there, guys. And then we would say, well, we really want it. And they said, no, let's not do that. And then we say, yeah, but we really want it. And they said, okay. So they were very cooperative. It was a really great creative experience with those partners.
It never hurts to ask and insist and come back and repeat. You never know. Yeah.
And then put it in anyway. and then see how it plays.
They got tired of us.
What was the overall timeline? Obviously, this had been in your minds since about 2005, but what was the overall timeline from like day one of animation production to completing this?
We started back in 2018 working with the writer, Killian O'Rourke, and we started physical production building in April of 2019. We finished shooting at the end, right before Christmas break of last year, 2019. And then we were in visual effects right up and through the pandemic, and we delivered about a month ago.
Wow. There you go. Wow. Yeah.
So it's over almost, actually, and we've been working on it, you know, steadily for a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, you make it happen. And I think families are really going to enjoy this. So now that it's out, now that it's here, it's ready, Friday, Netflix, November 20. What are the holidays going to be like for the Kyotos this year? Obviously, it's very different because of what's going on in the world. But now that you've got your baby out there to the world, what's the holidays looking like?
Oh, well, we're going to get together as best as we can within these new our new world. I just want to sit back now and look at it like an audience. I'm trying to get away from it now. I haven't seen anything since our last post-production meetings in the mix. So I want to see if I could view it as an audience. I just want to see how it plays. That's my goal.
I'm going to sleep.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you've seen the film? You've seen the show?
Yeah, absolutely. I watched it the other night and I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed looking at the animation and the story and the humor of it, especially those reindeer. And I can understand how the older generation will appreciate it through thinking about their days growing up watching these network specials. And then how kids who are watching these specials on Netflix are seeing them now. I mean, I think it's crazy that the Charlie Brown specials aren't on broadcast TV this year. I think it's nuts. Oh, yeah. But you know what? We've got streaming services now as great options for families to see these specials like the Charlie Browns and like what you have here with Alien Xmas. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Well, that's really our hope, is because, you know, the part of the holidays, you know, even my family, you know, my current family growing up, as my kids were growing up, you know, even though we had all of them on DVD or, you know, videotape, whatever, whenever they had their networks airing, we would sit down and watch them together as a family. And we hope that Alien Xmas, Alien Christmas does the same, that it becomes a touchstone, a gathering that people make it part of their holiday tradition. You know, do the double feature, you know, Alien Christmas and then Elf and then Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You know, that we hope that maybe it takes a seat in that kind of company.
Yeah. Watch them all. And then wait for Santa to arrive. Guys, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A podcast today. Congrats on this Alien Xmas this Friday, November 20th on Netflix. Stephen and Edward, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. More coming at you very soon at lights-camera-jackson.com.